instituted soon after the Great Disappointment in October 22, 1844, as noted. And then he goes on and he says, Ellen Harmon White wrote this statement in a letter to Eli Curtis during April 21. Now, here's his version of what I just read to you. I met with them. And then he puts in those early groups. And we studied and prayed earnestly. Often we remained together until late at night, and sometimes through the entire night, praying for light and studying the Word. ... clear across the page. And then he skips down to the next paragraph. And he says, and this is quoted correctly, during this whole time, I could not understand the reasoning of the brethren. My mind was locked, so forth and so on. And he says, see, she had no part in establishing our doctrines. By leaving off the whole section where she says, I was there when they couldn't settle the problem. God took me off in vision and explained it to me. My mind was locked. They had to accept as direct from God whatever came. That's all left out here. And he says they met and they finally got the thing all straightened out. If you want to read this crazy book, I'll tell you, this book is full of omissions, deletions, misrepresentations, and falsehoods about the Seventh-day Adventist Church and its founder. Now, why would Prune do that? What happened to the man? What had gone on? What had happened to the Adventist Church that they would print a book like this? I've got a couple more by him and all, and they're worse. Having lived through it, I can tell you. Now, here's what happened. One of my members, when I was pastoring the Everett Washington Church, came to me and she said, my brother's coming to visit me. He's president of the East Pennsylvania Conference. Would you let him preach on Sabbath? And I said, sure, why not? So he came and he preached. He preached the same message I'm hearing in the Adventist Church today, and that is everything was taken care of on the cross. All you have to do is to love Jesus and you're going to go to heaven. And don't worry about a thing. And this aroused my curiosity, so I invited he and his sister and her husband, who happened to be an old Adventist. He went down to the South Pacific on the Pitcairn. That is an old Adventist, right? Our first mission boat. And he had things straight. And I invited them home for Sabbath dinner, and then I began to say, now what? Where did you get this idea? Where did you come up with all of these new things? And he told me an interesting story. He said that he was listening to the radio, and a fellow by the name of Barnhouse. You ever heard that name? Anybody here heard of Barnhouse? A few. Was on the radio, and he was berating the sects, as he called them, the Adventists, the Mormons, the Christian Scientists, and like people, as unchristian, unbiblical, and all the rest. And it upset him. So he called Barnhouse up and he said, you don't know what you're talking about. And Barnhouse says, how dare you question me? I'm an authority. And he said, well, I'm president of East Pennsylvania Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and we don't believe what you say. And he sent him steps to Christ. Because Barnhouse was saying we didn't believe in Christ or the atonement or salvation by grace or anything. We just thought if we kept the Sabbath, we were going straight to heaven, and a lot of other things. And the next program he listened to, Barnhouse got up there and he said, "This man sent me the book Steps to Christ." And he said, "The Christ that's in Steps to Christ is a false Christ. It's not the Christ of the Bible." Well, they had a few more conversations and they didn't get anywhere. But, you know, the devil and God work in mysterious ways. The devil wanted Barnhouse to get into the Adventist Church. And Barnhouse thought he was the authority on the heretical sects. And he was back in, I think it was Philadelphia, somewhere back there. And there was another man down in Los Angeles that said he was the authority on the heretical sects. And they were in competition. And Barnhouse went home after he'd talked to Unruh. And he got to thinking and he said, "You know, maybe I better follow up on this thing about the Adventists. Maybe I've been wrong. And I can make a fool out of my competitor out in Los Angeles by showing him that he didn't do his homework." So Barnhouse contacts the Seventh-day Adventists and he wants to talk to our leader. And the preface to this nice, new, wonderful book that they've just published. What did I do with it? This one. We'll tell you quite a bit about it. Anyway, and it tells you who met with him and how long, and they discussed all kinds of things. And they got together and they went over the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, Barnhouse's daughter had married a man by the name of Martin, and Martin had a photographic memory. He could read something and then remember it. Whole books. So, Martin and Barnhouse and Froome and some more of our men met with him, including R. Allen Anderson and a few others. And when they finally got around to it, they even decided they would have to do some changes in our emphasis in the Adventist Church. And in order to make it believable, well, you couldn't have HMS Richards preaching something else, could you, on the radio? And you couldn't have somebody else preaching something else. So they invited HMS Richards and all of the main radio speakers at the time to come and meet with them, with Barnhouse and Martin, because Barnhouse and Martin had issued a list of questions. That's why this is called Questions on Doctrine. They had given the brethren a list of questions as to what the Adventist Church believed. And these men had sat down and they had answered the questions. And Barnhouse and Martin had said, "We have misjudged you. You are not a heretical sect. You are a genuine Protestant denomination." They took us off the blacklist. Now, that's what the brethren wanted. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who cares if you're on the devil's blacklist, as long as you're on God's right list? Now, the brethren had lost something important when they wanted to be on the devil's list instead of God's list. And they answered the questions. And Barnhouse and Martin agreed that they would print a book called Seventh-day Adventism, The Truth About It. And they went through and they published their book. And while they didn't agree with us on a lot of things, such as you can't eat pork and that you don't go to hell when you die and a whole lot of other things, they said, "We have found the Seventh-day Adventists are genuine Christians believing in salvation through Jesus Christ alone." But when they submitted their manuscript to the Review and Herald to be published as Questions on Doctrine, it didn't come out very fast. And I knew Taylor Bunch, and he was on the book committee at the Review and Herald, so I saw him one day, and I said, what about this Questions on Doctrine book anyway? Well, he said, you know, Bauer, he said, he's so full of heresy, they sold us down the river almost 100%. And we refused to print it. The book committee at the Review and Herald refused to print this book, friend. Now, they had a big problem. Martin and Barnhouse had printed their book. Let's see what the date is here. And this is 1960. And then our book didn't come out. It finally came out. And, you know, I had heard enough about it. Actually, our book came out in 57. They had heard enough about it, but they wouldn't let their book out until they'd seen this, because they knew and had heard that there was a problem in the Adventist Church over this book. Now, what they had to do, and the General Conference says, we got to print it. We promised these men we'd do it. And the Review and Herald says, no way, it's full of heresy. So the book committee at the Review and Herald and the General Conference got together, and they said, now we have a problem. We've got to leave enough of the new theology in this book to satisfy Barnhouse and Martin that we didn't lie to them. And we got to put enough of old-sounding words and paragraphs and lines in this book to convince the Seventh-day Adventist membership that it wouldn't change anything. Now, that's a big problem. So you will find, if you read this book carefully, that in one place it says what Barnhouse and Martin wanted, and a few pages further on, or a chapter or two further on, it says what you and I have been taught. In other words, it contradicts itself. I tried and tried to get a copy of the original one. The brethren wouldn't release any. Only one man that I knew had one, and he wouldn't let me see it. But friends, this was a major crisis in the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The door for what we're in now. It opened the door and began the reason why you're here today instead of a regular Seventh-day Adventist church. Because once we were recognized and accepted as genuine Christians by Barnhouse and Martin, that started a controversy, and I have a whole big file on it at home. This paper and that paper and the Baptist paper and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals, and everybody got in on it, writing about the book Questions on Doctrines and Barnhouse and Martin and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And Barnhouse and Martin took a great loss. They lost about one-third of their subscribers to their paper they were publishing because they said something nice about Seventh-day Adventists. Because before this happened, friends, Seventh-day Adventists were not welcome in ministerial associations. We were not considered Christians. We were not welcome anywhere. We were denounced as unchristian sect. We were denounced as teaching falsehood and error. And we were separate from the world and separate from Babylon.